Fine Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good.
It's nice to have you back feeling a bit of this week.
Yeah, so sorry about last week. I'm sure you all were devastated.
We do have a lot of Riot Girl fans on the BFM airwaves, so people were very excited about that.
Okay, well, I hope you're still excited.
I reckon.
Their message is still relevant, you know.
Hard out.
Between weeks. So Riot Girl is it's a music genre, but it's also an international underground feminist movement. And it's girl with three R's.
Because I was going to say, how many is the technical amount of R's?
I think it's three. I've seen it with four.
I think I sent you four.
But it's girl. Because, you know, girl can be like, it has a softness or precociousness,
like, hey,
or
girl,
a dumbness. You know, like, oh, they're girls.
Or yeah. It's usually little patronizing girls. Yeah. Quite often. Yeah.
In fact, you know, one of the worst things you can say about a music is that's just for young girls. Mm. You know, that's like the biggest put down.
Yeah.
And then think about the misogyny in that mm-hmm. statement. So it's sort of a punk music. And punk itself, interestingly, even though it was like radical, revolutionary, and we want to fight against, you know, the state and hegemony, was still male-dominated. A lot of great female punk bands, but it didn't actually tear that wall down as well as it could have with its sort of great values.
It started making a hole, but it didn't necessarily get right.
Yeah, whether
side.
It was, you know, because there were a lot of female punk bands, but the ones that kind of became iconic, and if you read a story of punk, it will be them. So in the 90s, and this is confusing too, so it's two places called Washington, D.C., which is on one side of the American continent, and Olympia, Washington.
Okay.
Which is on the other side of the continent.
Why have they done that? That's confusing.
Too much.
Because Washington was such a wonderful man. There's just so many things named after him. So that's confusing too, I think. And Olympia, Washington, for those of you who don't know your American geography, so there's California on the West Coast, and then Oregon and Portland, Oregon on top of it, and mm-hmm. then Washington, which was where Seattle is. So I think there were already like record labels sniffing around, knowing that this sort of northwestern mm-hmm. place can be sort of a font of
it's got
interest.
Something going on there. Yeah,
and it wasn't just about, well, do you want to play a song?
Yeah, let's hit probably when people think of Riot Girl, this is maybe where their brains go first.
Where does your brain go first?
Where does your brain go first?
You're not supposed to be doing that. Sorry. Okay, we're starting now. We're Bikini Kill, and we want revolution! Girls don't know!
So you can hear kind of even the DIY-ness
of the
statement. And hey, also their politics.
I feel like it's quite self-explanatory there, really. They want a revolution. Rachel loves this, eh?
This is
right
like
up your alley.
Straight up 15-year-old Rach through till now. Big mood.
So this is 1992, so you think about grunge in 1990, like it's around that same time, but it's so much more political.
So if you are unaware, also, by the way, there will be a bit of swearing in this segment, is the nature of punk. You got to get it out. This is Bikini Kill with Double Dare Ya.
And they are one of the iconic bands of this.
There is a documentary about Kathleen Hanna, and there is a scene filmed in this very studio.
What?
The BFM studio. There's a little clip of Kathleen Hanna being interviewed in the 90s in this BFM room.
That's cool.
Pretty cool, eh?
Everything started from here, right?
Hard out.
So, yeah, these are unabashed feminists. A lot of people like to hesitate. I'm a feminist, but, you know, they feel like, no, I'm a feminist. And it wasn't just about music, because they realized that the music industry was exploitative and, you know, commodified and male-dominated. So they also were about activism and starting your own bands and zines. Now, you young ones won't know what zines are.
Rachel's a big zines
I love a zine. I'm a big old nerd over here.
Before the internet,
what is a zine?
Communication obviously was more limited. And obviously, if you had money or a big publisher, you know, you could create magazines. So a zine was sort of a homegrown magazine, just photocopied and making it yourself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they had meetings, they had conferences. You'd make comics for these zines, support groups. Oh my God, they were really into manifestos.
Someone texted in and said, we were lucky enough to catch Bikini Kill in Brooklyn earlier this year.
Oh, sick.
Totally still relevant and kicking ass.
They're on their big like reunion tour. They haven't performed as a band for yonks. I'm very jealous.
I always thought, you know, do they wear bikinis? No, they do not. I mean, they do, but they might have some sort of blood on them or some sort of symbols spray painted on their belly.
It is Bikini Kill after
That's
all.
Right.
This is like, they were also incredibly influential, Bikini Kill, especially on people like Kurt Cobain and grunge and all of those. They just kind of paved the way for a whole bunch of genres.
They were just so authentic and honest about their politics. You know, some people feel like music and politics don't mix, even though they're always there. I mean, pretending you know how politics is a politic, but anyway, but they were just like straight up, this is who we are. And they got a backlash, you know?
Yeah.
You get that moral panic, you know, that we've seen with a lot of music situations, that, oh my God, they're man haters, you know? And, you know, there was media backlash against them, you know, for being feminist. And it still is a way to shut feminism down. But they also tried to be, you know, even though they were about anger, right? It's girl, you know. They also tried to be, it was about fun and empowerment and inspiring.
Yeah. And the whole classic Bikini Kill thing was girls to the front, you know. And so that's still a massive thing in music culture, is bands being like, hey, look, we need to have space for people who aren't often safe in these spaces to be able to have a nice time here as well. That's a big legacy of that era.
Yeah, so full respect. So next we've got Heavens to Betsy.
Yeah.
They're another iconic band. They're from Olympia, Washington.
More good feedback. The thing I've always liked about Riot Girl was people started to really lean into parts of female vocal expression that are so often sidelined or marginalized or seen to be like bad, which is like that really high, the nasal thing, the sibilance, that sort of shrieking noise and stuff. They really lent into
it. True. You know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, I want to like girl bands or girl artists, but I can't stand their voices. It's so high. But yet when Robert Plant sings like a woman, you know, or any other male has, you know, whether it's falsetto or whatever, it's celebrated.
We've had a text in, what was the Riot Girl song that Fugazi sung that caused controversy? Do you know what that one was? I'm going to have a Google.
You want to hear a real sad story, though? So because Riot Girl showed some promise and was interesting, the big record companies go, ooh, that sells.
Yeah.
And then we get that late 90s phenomena of Alanis Morissette, Jewel, Spice Girls, Gwen Stefani. And it's like, you know, they just have to take everything and make it a marketable commodity, you know?
I would say, though, that I still think that there's awesome stuff that comes out of... I love Gwen Stefani, I will not lie. That was the
She's
first
a talent,
CD.
No doubt. Oh,
that was the first CD next to Beck Ronger's Beautiful Collision. That was the first CD I bought myself, was Gwen Stefani's Harajuku Girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite a problematic
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
CD.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Yes, but a big banger when you were nine.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, and then so maybe that isn't so bad. Maybe that can be a gateway to, you know, and even Alanis, you know, like, but they sort of mass marketed it. Yeah, so that's a good point. So maybe not a fully sad story. It can be like a gateway drug into, you know, finding a band that is more political. Will you get that sort of political, L-I-T-E, political light?
Political light. Have we found out about that Fugazi track?
I had a little squiz, but I couldn't really find it, actually.
Right. Well, we'll keep looking for you, listener. If anybody's got Riot Girl memories, we'd love to know. 5395. It's not gone away, though, has it?
Well, see, that's the thing. Yeah, so it was, in some ways, the specific movement and specific time, and it's important to sort of acknowledge that and locate them and where they came from. But yeah, I guess because it's also like an idea that it can be in anything. You can find it in all sorts of things that's kind of acknowledge it.
That's where the kind of like the political part of it comes in.
Yeah, yeah. And so that
it's
anyone
a state of mind.
Can take on an element of it, and whether it's sort of homage. And so our third artist we're playing is quite recent, 2016. You know, is any sort of feminist band Riot Girl, or is anything, you know, sort of punk with women Riot Girl? So our other track is Sneaks. Yeah, so this is 2016, and she's sort of a poet.
It's got an...
Shame you came from a town which does not have a name, thinking about those...
She's got an ESG flavor a little bit, Sneaks. She's kind of leaning on that, too.
Getting longer by the minute.
But you can hear, I guess... You know, the Riot Girl aesthetic.
Totally. Yeah.
You could see that same club, the same sort of space that the other girls were performing in, what, 20 years later. Oh my god.
Every time I cannot take your ID.
Riot Girl, Brett Mobile, another bloody good band. Texter.
And I think the minimalism too of the band, like I love this band, it's like three people, two people.
Yeah.
And so like this has that minimalist
and
feel.
And it rides on either the vocals or the bass line or the drums or the guitar. There's usually like one solid, this is obviously the bass.
Yeah, I really like this track. I like that minimalism. Bass is jamming.
And that's only a minute long. That's the other thing. There's a lot of like a lot of punk music. It's short, sharp, and sweet. It's kind of like in and out. You got to say what you got to say, and then you move on.
Well, yeah, that's sort of that rebellion too. We're not going to try to create art or music. We're just creating like feeling and power. You know, this is like quite a different. I mean, yeah, it can still be marketed and sort of copied, but yeah, there's some people that sort of keep it as quite an authentic sort of spirit. And this is so crazy. Here's one of my Riot Girl stories. I remember watching the old TV show Roseanne, the old one, and Roseanne and her sister's characters were like in a car remembering their youth, and they were listening to Bikini Kill. Like, that, her character, you know, that was her youth, and that's what made, you know, she was a struppy woman in that show.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that Riot Girl had been an important part of her journey being a strong woman. I thought that was weird. I am not a fan of the show and I didn't like watch it regularly. I just happened to catch that and was so impressed. Like, what did teenage Roseanne listen to?
Yeah.
She listened to Riot Girl.
I always have liked that Riot Girl has become a touchstone in a lot of films and stuff as well for young women or queer people sort of understanding this kind of idea that you can have your cool club as well when you're feeling a bit like the world is against you. You can be like, this is music that gets me. This is kind of like the epitome of that for kind of 90s teen movie situation.
And that's an important part of, you know, I guess the life cycle of music now is people, they can have like a third life in films or games. This probably isn't really game music, but to have films. And so like, I don't know how much money they made initially, but there's a possibility of actually making money long term because it was so iconic. It speaks to a genre or a place or a time or a vibe or whatever, that they get that sort of longevity due to, you know, their importance.
Someone has said Riot Girl's Shonen Knife, who played last night, they are very, I would say, Riot Girl adjacent at least.
Yeah,
so much fun. Head banging, pogoing, hair flicking, wall of guitar noise. I got my t-shirt and guitar pick signed and a happy chat too, and so that's pretty awesome. Someone says Girl Friends from NZ kicks ass, and somebody else says L7. Is that sort of in the genre?
It doesn't ring a bell for me. But
And Foamy End, were they considered an NZ Riot Girl band? They were rad. I think we kind of get to that idea of like, if you feel like you're a Riot Girl, I think you're a Riot
Girl.
Well,
if it means Riot Girl to use the audience.
Hard out,
I'm still trying to think about getting your guitar pick signed. So
that's
like,
wicked.
So tiny.
Tiny little signature.
But also like their description, that headbanging noise, you know.
That's
like,
Riot Girl.
That should be in the dictionary.
Yeah.
You know, actually even getting your t-shirt and pick sign, that sort of engagement with the band, you know, a lot of people think of music as this one-way street of consumption and absorption, but I think Riot Girl was always about interaction.
And that's what punk did as well. Punk was like, anybody can make music, and then Riot Girl was like, anybody, even the women, we can make music.
Yeah.
Even the people who still felt really sort of unsafe maybe in some of those 80s punk spaces, we can do this as well. And that was a pretty big thing, and zines helped push that too.
Absolutely. And you know, I mean, it's hard because even today you still have probably like 10 artists basically that make all the money.
Yeah.
But we do have the internet, and people can sort of try to have that more grassroots, and I think Riot Girl was really important part of that we, you know, now the internet's doing it.
Hard out. Well, thank you very much, Kirsten. I've enjoyed this a lot this morning.
Girl power
with three
power.
R's.
Girl power.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
And